2 Corinthians chapter 4. Topic, the marks of a faithful preacher. Marks of a faithful preacher. I wonder how many of you have been to the Yellowstone National Park in the United States. How many of you have been there? All right. Deacon Teck Bing and another brother. I've been there once. And when you go to the Yellowstone, what is the main attraction in the Yellowstone National Park? Definitely not Yogi Bear or whatever. There is a very famous geyser over there, right? Called what? The Old Faithful. The Old Faithful. And why is it called the Old Faithful? It's because this geyser, every 65 minutes, it will, without fail, shoot up boiling water. And the boiling water can go up to about 170 feet. And that's about a 10 to 12 story building. And so when you go to the national park, there's a schedule. When is the next right spout coming up? And it's always right on time. All this while. And that's why it's called the Old Faithful. It doesn't fail, right, to release that stream of boiling water. And it's quite a spectacle. And so, for us as believers, as Christians, I'm sure at the end of our life, we want such a name. Old Faithful. We are an Old Faithful. We have been faithful to the Lord from beginning to end, as we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And we are told, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. Now that we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be faithful, full of faith until the very end. And how we desire to hear our Lord say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's the best commendation we can get from the Lord. To be an old faithful. Will you be an old faithful? What must we do to deserve or to get such a name or label? To be a faithful preacher or faithful servant, a faithful Christian. Well, here we find the Apostle Paul in this chapter telling us how we can be a faithful servant of the Lord. And here in verses 1 to 6, Paul tells us if we want to be faithful and we want to be called faithful, then we must always, and this is the first point, we must always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His infallible and inerrant word. Christ must be number one in our life, and we must have the highest view or highest regard for God's word. And so in verse 1 we read, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Seeing we have this ministry. And here the ministry, what kind of ministry? Not ministry of manpower. Ministry of foreign affairs is a higher ministry. The ministry of the word. Ministry of the word of God. The preaching and the teaching of God's word. And this ministry is not only for those who are called to be full-time ministers of the word. It's for you as well. Even the lay person, you sitting at the pew, you are also to be a preacher of God's word. In your own respective places of occupation, a preacher, an evangelist, and a teacher. Some of you have the gift of teaching. You'll be teaching in the Sunday school. Some of your elders here also are apt to teach. And they teach and they preach. We are glad for Elder John, who was with us this morning in our Chinese service. He preached to our Chinese congregation. And we also communicate God's word with our life. Not just with our speech, but also with our conduct, with our life. So this is the ministry that has been entrusted to us. The ministry of the word. not just for the full-time preacher, but for every Christian. We are to be walking Bibles. I mean, we must reflect the truth and the purity and the holiness and the teachings of the Scriptures in our life, in our behavior, in our conduct. We must do that. And in our life, we must exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. That people, when they see our lives, will not blaspheme the name of God, but will glorify God. And this is something that is not self-appointed. This is something that God has given to us by His mercy. It's a privilege. Verse 1, here Paul says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. It's not something we take upon on our own, not self-appointment, but this comes by divine appointment. And that's why those who want to serve the Lord full-time should receive a call to ministry. And when the Lord calls you, you will know for sure that He wants you to serve Him full-time. And I'm praying the Lord will raise up more men and women in our churches to give their lives to serve the Lord full-time. I pray to see more and more. Recently, there was a fraternity of Bible Presbyterian pastors. They gathered together and they had a retreat in Malaysia. And one of the things they discussed was about succession in the future. Who are the ones who are going to succeed us or take our place in the pulpit, in the pastoral ministry? And they are getting worried because no one is coming up to serve the Lord full time. And now they also do not know where to send their people because they run down the Far Eastern Bible College. Why? Because we preach and teach and defend the perfection of God's word, and they say they don't want to send students to FEBC. And now they are saying no one is coming up to serve the Lord. We are getting worried because we are getting old. Who is going to replace us? It takes time to train them. It takes time to test them. It takes time for them to get ordained. So they are getting worried. Well, I also pray, Lord, may we have no shortage of ministers of the word. Again, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are still few. And many are called, few are chosen. We want those who are called and those who are chosen. Choice servants of the Lord who are faithful. Because many are called, but there are those who are unfaithful. We want those who are called and will be faithful unto the very end. So please pray. And pray. You all are, I'm sure, praying for a pastor. May the Lord bless you and grant you with one. And there are other churches without pastors. They are also praying for a pastor. We pray more godly men will rise up to serve the Lord. Is the Lord calling you? And if the Lord is calling you, please answer the call. Don't delay. Give yourself totally to Him. Surrender your life and you will not be sorry. Serving the Lord is such a privilege. And Paul here says, it's not something I deserve to do. It's something that I have received by the mercy of God. As we have received mercy, we faint not. And this applies to also the Christian. You are Christian not because you appointed yourself to be a Christian. You are Christian. You are saved because God has so graciously called you, chosen you before the foundation of the world and called you to become His child and gave you the faith even to believe. You don't deserve it in the first place, but God has graciously given this wonderful gift to you by His mercy. And because we have received all these things by the mercies of God, we do not faint. Oh, how we owe our life to the Lord. And so the love of Christ will constrain us. We don't faint. We don't say, I quit. But we will press on. And I'm sure here Paul must have been reminded of his Damascus Road experience. He was all out to persecute the church. But then the Lord stopped him in his tracks appeared to him so graciously, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When you persecute me, when you go against me, you are hurting yourself, kicking against the pricks. And you can never defeat the gospel. You can never defeat the kingdom of God. You cannot fight God and win." And the Lord graciously converted him. And then he became a preacher of the gospel. And here he says, "It is because of the mercies of God. I don't deserve it. I should be the first to be condemned because I did so much evil against Christ, his word, and his church. But the Lord saved me." And so, who is number one? Not me. The Lord Jesus is number one in my life, and his word that has been committed to me. And so when you are called by the mercies of God to serve the Lord full time, to be a preacher, please don't think that it is a great sacrifice. I'm sacrificing myself to serve the Lord. And I've lost so much just to enter in the full-time ministry. Sometimes I hear preachers talking like this. "You know, I gave up my profession. I was CEO. I've earned a lot. I've been getting a lot of money and a lot of salary. You know, I gave up my legal profession. Or I gave up my medical career. I gave this up and gave them up to serve the Lord." And as if there was such a great sacrifice being paid by the person. No, there is no sacrifice and no loss at all. If the Lord were to call you, it is such a privilege. In fact, it is gain to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's no loss at all, and we shouldn't speak in such a way as if we are doing God a favor by serving the Lord full time. No, not at all. And Paul never spoke also in that way. It is our God-given duty and God-given privilege to serve the Lord full time. And although we may have given up, yes, a cushy job, well-paid position to become a pastor, and the pastor may be as poor as a church mouse, you may suffer poverty, you may not get as much monetary gain as you would outside, but it's really no loss, and we shouldn't think of ourselves as, "Oh, we are doing God a favor." No. We must always see the Lord as number one. As John the Baptizer says, "He must always increase, and I must decrease." And his word that we have and are able to preach and to teach it is the most wonderful job, wonderful occupation or vocation in the world, because this word is powerful that will change lives for eternity. We teach, if we are teachers in secular schools and we teach secular subjects like mathematics or biology or physics or chemistry, well, these are good subjects, knowledge we gain that will help people to live their life here on earth. But mathematics, biology, physics, chemistry, they are no good for heaven, right? And they cannot point you to heaven either. But once you study this word not only prepares you for life here on earth, but it prepares you for life in heaven. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be a minister of the gospel. And so if you are not called, you can pray for this calling. "Lord, yes, this is something I want to do with my life. Here am I. Send me." Will you pray such a prayer? I pray more Singaporeans will arise, take the step of faith, to train for the ministry. In FEBC, we have a good number of students from Singapore, but we have more students from other countries, and we thank God that they come. But I wish for more to arise from our midst. will you not answer the call if the Lord is calling you? So, exalt Christ and His Word. And here in verse 5, Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." And that was the attitude of the heart of the Apostle Paul. Not self, but Christ and Christ alone. We preach not ourselves. It's not the I all the time. That's satanic. The satanic and the selfish I. It's always I. Look at me. And in many of these mega churches out there, why do people flock to such churches? Well, because it appeals to their flesh and their pastors. You hear them, you can see themselves very self-promoting. I know of one pastor of a mega church. He writes books, and then when he publishes them, you look at the cover. Who do you see? He. And he's very stylish, stylo, even posed in such a way. All drawing attention to whom? To what? To me. I'm the one who has answers for you. Look at me. Although they use the name of Christ, but the name of Christ comes out very softly. But you hear more loudly the I. But Paul here says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see in Galatians 2:20 also a number of I's. Paul says, I, five times. But the eyes are selfless eyes. Not I, really, but Christ. And I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Now, that kind of an eye is a good eye. Not I, but Christ. And then when we preach, each time when I deliver God's word, I pray the prayer, "Lord, please hide me behind the cross. Please hide me behind thy word, that I will not be seen, but only the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may receive all the glory." I will always point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to myself. And so when I preach to the congregation in the church, and there may be those who come to me for counseling, the first thing I tell them is, "I have no answer, no solution for you. But I know who has. Who has your answer? Who can solve your problems? And my duty is to point you to him. And my duty is point you to his word. And you may not like what I will be telling you, but that is your medicine. That is your antidote. So don't look at me. Don't look for me. I am nothing. I'm a sinner just like you. But I know who can help you, a savior. And here it is. In his word." And then you apply the scriptures accordingly to the troubles and the problems they have. And usually the problems and the troubles, the spiritual sickness that they have, due to what? Due to their sin, you see. Their waywardness, their disobedience to the scriptures. And so you've got to tell them, this is the medicine you must take. And then point them to the word of God, the commandments of God. Pray for them. Tell them you have to repent and pray the Lord will give them the grace and the mercy and that they may run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is what we must do. And we should not preach because of these five P's. You know, here Paul says we preach not ourselves. And we must not preach for these five P's. What are they? We must not preach because of pay. We must not preach for power. We must not preach for position. We must not preach for prestige. We must not preach for popularity. All these five P's must be totally removed from our life, from our heart and our mind, if we want to serve the Lord full time. And if we want to be faithful believers, all these five P's also must be removed and taken away from us. We serve the Lord humbly. And you don't have to be a preacher of God's word. You can serve the Lord as you are. In the church, as an elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or an usher or a pianist or in the choir or in, you know, preparing or making refreshments or, you know, distributing tracts, anything. I mean, setting up the chairs, putting out the hymn books, all these are sacred services and duties for God. As important as preaching in the pulpit. And you do all these things not because you want people to see you, but because you love the Lord. Not for pay, not for prestige, not for power or position, not for popularity, for men to praise you, but I do it whether man sees or not. I don't care. I just want to do it for the Lord. You put Jesus number one in your life and the word of God you want to obey, God will bless you greatly. And then in the end, I'm sure he will tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then the second thing here we find is, what are the marks of a faithful preacher? Well, the second thing here is from verses 7 to 15, and has to do with endurance. First, you must exalt Christ and His word. The second is you must endure. Right? You must endure sufferings and afflictions, persecutions. So you must exalt Christ, you endure sufferings. Verses 7 to 15. Now in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We are just earthen vessels, clay pots, easily broken, very fragile, very breakable. We are very weak. The flesh is so weak. And there are times in ministry when the going gets tough. I'm made of flesh too. Sometimes when the going gets tough, it's so hard, right, to serve the Lord because there's such great opposition and persecution, all these trials and testings and temptations you face. Sometimes you're tempted to call it quits. I can't go any further. I can't do it anymore. But here we are told, realize, yes, it's good. Realize your weaknesses. Realize you cannot go on and do God's work with your own strength, because it's not just physical labor. Physical labor, you just have to develop your physical muscles and fitness, and you can lift heavy weights. But here is spiritual. And so in spiritual things, we must develop spiritual muscles. We must be spiritually perfect and mature in our life. We must cultivate that faith and hope and love in our life to really continue. And the Lord allows us to go through all these things, and He will put us through the test and to remind us how weak we are. And Paul understands this very well. We have this treasure. What is this treasure? The gospel treasure, right? Eternal life, the Word of God, in earthen vessels, in this physical, weak, frail, sinful body and flesh that we have. And many a time we feel we can't go on. But it is when we are weak, then we are strong. We look to the Lord. And just now, our elder prayed that we must be totally dependent on the Lord. Because we are weak indeed. We are nothing. We have no strength. And we have to trust the Lord in every way. And then the Lord wants us to feel this way, because when we do it in our weakness and then there is good success in our ministry, then all glory goes to whom? Not me. It's not because of me that people come to church or people are healed, people are restored, people are reconciled to God. Not because of me, because of God. And He is doing the work. He is giving the increase. And all glory goes to His name. So I become smaller and smaller. I don't think highly of myself. I think highly of my God. He is pleased to use even me, such a weak instrument, to do His mighty work. All glory goes to Him, you see. God wants us to think in this way. And that's why He allows us to go through many hardships and sufferings and testings and trials in our life. And so here Paul says, in verse 8, he says, yes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are troubled on every side. And the word trouble here has the idea of being squeezed, right? Being squeezed. Have you experienced being squeezed before? I mean, pushed to the corner, squeezed and pressured, and you have no way out. You are so troubled. But here, Paul says, although we are troubled, squeezed, and pressured, yet we are not distressed. In other words, we are not distressed in that we don't suffer a nervous breakdown. We don't become a basket case, all right? We don't become insane. Many in this world, yes, with the stresses and pressures of life, it can cause them to get a nervous breakdown or become insane, mad, or crazy. But as believers, we may go through the same kind of stresses and pressures, being squeezed and pressured so much that can cause ordinary men to break, to suffer a mental breakdown, go into bouts of depression. But we, Paul here says, although we go through all these things, we do not crack up. We do not become a nervous wreck. We do not become an emotional basket case. We don't. We still have soundness and sanity in our minds and our hearts because God preserves us. God keeps us. So here Paul says, yes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's always this victory in us. We are never defeated, all because of the Lord who is with us. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are perplexed. And the word perplexed here has the idea of being at a loss in what to do, all right? Being at a loss over what to do. And sometimes we, you know, with so many things happening in our life or the situation or the circumstances that we face, the problems and troubles may be so complicated and so complex and, you know, so full of knots, and we want to untie, we just find no way out. What is the answer? How to make a decision? And sometimes we just have no clue. We are at a loss at what to do. But yet, although we are perplexed, here Paul says, but not in despair. Not in despair. Although we may be at a loss about what to do, we don't lose out. We are not totally lost at all. We still find a way out. And the Lord promised, yes, you may go through many temptations, but the Lord will not tempt us to such an extent that we cannot handle it, but will surely open a way out for us, that we may find a way of escape. And our Lord is very good. Right? So we do not lose out. We are not totally lost. And then we can pray to the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The directive will of God, through His preceptive will, through His words. And His words are not just, you know, just words. The words here are full of life and light and guidance. Thy words are a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I've experienced it to be so true in very, very practical things. You know, just like right now, FEBC going through this whole saga of defending the Word, and you know, those who sue us to evict us from the premises. Now they sue us a second time for money. And we have to make decisions how to proceed, how to go forward in a good and a godly and a righteous manner in according to God's word. How? We have to pray to the Lord. Lord, please give us the wisdom. Sometimes things are so complicated and complex. You know, people say one thing, another person may say something else, and then, you know, your thoughts are being pulled here and pulled there, your feelings are pulled this way and that way, and then sometimes you just don't know what to do. That's where you go on your knees and you pray to the Lord. Lord, please show the way, give wisdom, give the direction. And then when you meditate on scriptures, and the Lord calls you to remember His precepts, then you are very happy. He gives you the light, His truth, and say, this is the way to go. This is the decision to make. Each step of the way, we find the Lord leading us in this way. So you're not at a loss. Look like you have lost out, but you're not really lost. The Lord helps you and guides you out of that forest, right? And jungle, this mess, and you see things clearly. So this was Paul's experience. And then in verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, persecuted. And you may face persecution, verbal persecution, as well as physical persecution. Although you may be persecuted, you are not forsaken. You're not forsaken. God is with you. And Jesus promised, I will be with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. And so you can have all confidence in this God. And then it says here, you are cast down. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down here. Yes, you may be cast down, you may be knocked down, but not destroyed in that you are not knocked out. You're not knocked out. You're knocked down, but not knocked out. I wonder how many of you have played with this toy. You know, when I was a young boy, I had this toy, the putawong. You know what's that, no? The bop bag, right? In English, it's the bop, B-O-P, bag. It's made of usually plastic, but there's a heavy base, right? And then you can inflate this plastic figure up, and then you can hit it, but then it goes to the ground. Next moment, bounces back up. You know that toy? It's a good toy, quite biblical toy. Buy it for your children. Let them play. And then, well, this is the idea here. You're knocked down, you're never knocked out. You always bounce back. You have this resilience, right? This endurance, this perseverance that comes with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul finds himself like this. Oh, how he went through tremendous, tremendous persecution and troubles and afflictions. And you think, oh, any ordinary man would have been finished. But he always bounces back, and presses on. As Christians, we are like this. And this is the test of true faith. When you go through all these things and you find yourself never lost because there's the guidance of God's word, you may be squeezed and you're pressured, but you do not crack up or break up. You find yourself developing more and more patience and endurance. You are persecuted, but you never deny the faith. You keep confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. You are cast down and knocked down, but you're never knocked out. You find yourself pressing on in the Lord, then it's a sign you are truly a child of God. The Lord is with you. The Lord is helping you. And the Lord is using you, you see. So let us make sure of this. That's why in verse 11, Paul says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Yes, we are always delivered unto death for the sake of Christ. But when we go through all this, when we go through many deadly experiences and we find ourselves living all the time and living our life abundantly for the Lord, then it is an evidence, a manifestation that Jesus is in you and with you. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Because we have the spirit of faith. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So faith in you will cause you to have this kind of enduring quality. And that's why Jesus said, in the last days, when you have false Christ, false prophets, tribulation, wars, rumors of wars, things are not going well. And then Jesus says, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, everyone who is saved will have this quality. Their faith is an enduring faith. It will go on and on and on without stopping, right? Better than Duracell. On and on and on and on. Until the very end. And if you find yourself having this kind of faith, you don't give up. You hold fast all the time. No matter what happens. That's an evidence of true faith in your life. And a true calling. And those who are called to full-time service, how sometimes it's very hard to tell whether a person is called or not. Those who come to FEBC, we require them to write their testimony when they apply. Testimony of salvation, testimony of call. So some of them write very impressive testimonies. We think, well, judging on what they testify on paper, they are called, we accept them. But then later on, we find that when they are put through the mill, the rigors of training and study, they eventually, after one or two semesters, surrender, give up. Pack up, go home. We have a case of one from the United States, from America. He wanted to come to study in FEBC. He was already studying in a seminary, an accredited Presbyterian seminary in the States. But he says, I'm called to the mission field. I want to serve in Asia. I think it's good for me to study in the Far East, and the Far Eastern Bible College, I think, suits my purpose. I want to come and study. Will you accept me? So we accepted him as a student. But after 2 weeks in FEBC, he came to my room in tears. He says, I want to go home. I said, are you called? He says, no, I'm not sure. Well, there are those who come thinking they are called. And we also thought he was called. Because when he studied for 1 year in the Presbyterian Seminary, his grades were quite good, A's, mostly A's and B's coming here. But when he went through our studies after the first 2 weeks, and then in my class in Greek, he was not getting 9 or 10 out of 10 for my Greek vocabulary tests and quizzes, but 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10, and I don't know what he's thinking. He should be studying, but apparently not studying. And then the answer is, FEBC is not for me. Are you called? I'm not sure. I want to go home. So he left. Some think they are called, but not called. But if you are truly called, no matter what hardships in life, and if you're called to study God's word and to serve the Lord in the Bible college, and Reverend Toh says, FEBC is like a safety. All right? You know what safety, right? You have to go through hard military training. Our CWO is Mrs. Ivy Toh. Oh, he is tough. She is tough. And, well, those who are truly, truly called will endure whatever may come. Scolding, right, rebukes, corrections, hardships. And we have a very, very tough lecturer. I think in every seminary, one is enough. Such lectures. I don't want to say what is his name. But those of you who go through his courses may know, or courses in FEBC, you know who I'm talking about. Tough under him, but no matter what, you go through your studies, and no matter how tough it is, I say, you know, I will not quit. I will press on. I will persevere. I ask the Lord for grace. I humble myself, receive instruction, receive admonition, rebuke, correction. Even if I'm scolded for not the right reason, or I've not done anything wrong, I'm scolded, never mind, I humble myself and endure and receive it. I eat humble pie. And so there are students who are called, who go through the studies like this, and then they succeed at the end, and in ministry, they do well. Now that's a true calling, you see. But those who are not called, by and by, they will give up, and then you finally find them disappearing. So, endure sufferings and persecutions if you want to be a faithful servant of the Lord. And then the third thing in verse 16 to 18. Verse 16 to 18, we are told, expect only spiritual and eternal rewards, not physical and material and the temporal. All right? So, first, exalt Christ and His word. Endure sufferings and persecution. Third, expect only spiritual and eternal rewards. Verse 16 to 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the physical body may perish due to poverty, due to pain, due to beatings and torture, due to old age, due to disease or sickness. Yes, our outward man, our physical body may perish, but one thing is this, the inward man, the spiritual man, must become stronger and stronger, right? For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And we must think in such spiritual terms. Not that we look good on the outside. It's no use to look good on the outside. Although I'm not saying you keep yourself unfit or unhealthy, we must watch what we eat also. Make sure we get enough rest and exercise and all that. But don't overdo it. Some people, they want to exercise until they look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, with all the muscles here, bulking and all that. I'm not sure if I'm built like this, is going to be any spiritual good to you. All right? You may be distracted looking at the muscles instead of listening to the words, right? Just look normal. Right? And here, it's more important. The spiritual man is seen more and more, right? The spiritual man is that which is attractive and impressive. That is more important if we want to be a faithful servant of the Lord. That we cultivate these three important virtues among others: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is charity. All right? And then verse 17, we are told, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so, here, when we suffer in this life, well, know that our sufferings are only for a short time, a short while. I mean, our lifespan on earth is 70, 80. And we may think that's a long time, but actually it's not. It's a very short time compared to eternity. So, in our life, if we go through all these sufferings on account of Christ and His Word, well, have this in your mind. All these things that we are going through is only for a short time compared to what we will enjoy forever and ever. So, don't give up. Press on. And look for what? Eternal, spiritual, eternal rewards. Your treasures should not be here on earth. Your treasures should be in heaven, for where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Look for these eternal treasures in heaven, because we are going to spend eternity, not just permanently, but eternally in heaven. And so, make sure you work for the things that will last forever, not things that will last only for a while at this point in time. and then will disappear. You can't bring these things with you to heaven, your house, your car, your grades in school, whatever, your money, all this will be left behind. And all these will be useless when heaven comes. So work with eternity's values in view, which is what? Make sure you are in God's good books, right? He has a good assessment, a good view of you. Yes, this child of mine is a good child, good son, good daughter, good servant. And God is pleased with you. That is the most important. Make sure you seek always the approval of God and not the approval or the popularity of man. That God is pleased with you. And we must please God rather than man. And that involves having our heart geared towards eternity. Treasures in heaven. Right? Not more pay, more preach. And less pay, less preach. Not the praise of man, but the approval of God we must seek. And so, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, not the visible and material, but the invisible, spiritual, and eternal. For the things which are seen are temporal and only last for a short while. They are temporary things, but the things which are not seen, things that belong to God, are forever, eternal. So that is the best investment you can make, spiritual riches in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and you will be rewarded with a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. So serve the Lord until the very end. Be a Christian for the Lord. Really, a Christian means a Christian. You bear the name of Christ and what Christ stands for, who Christ is, what Christ is in your life. And you serve the Lord faithfully until the very end. And one day, you will earn that title. You are an old faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will grant thee a crown of life. And then the Lord will commend us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I wish I will hear these words when I get there. I pray I may be faithful enough to deserve to hear these words. I know I have many, many shortcomings. I have a long way to go. But we live a day at a time and do our best for the Lord, a day at a time, with the Lord's help. And with the Lord's grace and mercy, I'm sure all of us can attain unto this. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, and for the encouragement you have given to us through thy word, the promises you have made, and the eternity that we can expect and look forward to. Thou art a good God, very faithful to thy children. We pray, O Lord, that we as your children and your servants be faithful to thee, without let, without end, until the day we see Jesus face to face. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.